Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
Today, I'd like to welcome my good friend, Rob Marshallonis, to our podcast. Rob has an incredible background in productivity, employee productivity. Rob comes to us today with a great concept to bring encouragement for work to your workplace with a lot of the experiences that Rob has garnered throughout his career. Rob, I'd like to welcome you to the podcast. Rob, would you tell the audience a little bit about your fabulous background?
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for including me today. And yeah, pretty much as you mentioned, Mark, for much of my career, really most of my career, I've been involved, had leadership roles in different operations, specifically in manufacturing and with trades groups and actually a number of nonprofits. And in my capacity as a leader with those organizations, in many ways, the greater one of the greatest challenges was productivity, employee productivity. And so I came to look at that as not just a challenge, but an enormous opportunity for leaders to, find ways, ideally productive, encouraging, rewarding ways for employees to get results, do good work, and, in summary, just be more productive.
That's wonderful, Rob. And Rob, as long as I've known you, you've had such an incredible impact in the organizations that you served. Tell the audience a little bit about your Malcolm Baldrige Award that you received several years ago.
Wow, you're going back a few years on me here, Mark. But one of the approaches that we used along the way when I was leading a mid-sized manufacturing company was to embrace the leadership and business excellence principles of the Malcolm Baldrige program. And we were actually involved in that program for, deliberately for about 11 years. The effort, the excellence program culminated in an award program, actually a presidential award. So just learned a lot, gained a lot, enjoyed a lot of productivity improvements, and got to celebrate the journey with the President of the United States in Washington. So thanks for mentioning that, Mark.
That's so wonderful, Rob, and I know you're not a prideful person, but I wanted to bring that up to help the audience to understand your background and the impact that you've had within your career. Tell me a little bit about incentive programs for employees. We're looking at bringing positivity to organizations in 2024. I know 2023, 22, 21, 20, a lot of negativity. And many organizations and listeners have reached out and said, hey, bring us some great ideas. So we're bringing thought experts like yourself onto our podcast. What's a great idea that you have that you would like to bring to organizations in 2024 to bring excitement, joy, and most importantly, employee engagement?
So along the lines of engagement, Mark, is productivity. And I just think that with all the workplace challenges for leaders, for owners, organization leaders, a lot comes down to productivity. And so how can we as leaders and business owners and advisors, business advisors, encourage and support and in positive ways drive employee productivity and productivity and results and output? If we can do that, I believe that gives us the resources and the means and the justification to do all kinds of good things, things that employees and organizations would generally want to provide to their stakeholders. And so there are a lot of ways to drive employee productivity. And I always advocate, I guess, a context approach and starting with low cost, no cost approaches first. But one of the most impactful means I've found to drive employee productivity, and I would go so far as to say that the most impactful approach that I've found is to put skin in the game for the employees to, get better results. And so there's lots of ways to do that. You could call them bonus plans, incentive plans, gain sharing. But basically, I found that if you can find these creative ways to put skin in the game, share your success with your employees, I found that's one of the best ways to drive improved results and productivity.
That's excellent, Rob. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, because after spending as many years in human resources doing work with so many different organizations, I really see the lack of incentive programs for all organizations, many organizations that we discover. I mean, we find out that many organizations don't even have job descriptions for employees, don't have standard operating procedures, don't have any workbooks, guidelines, training, things of that nature. So a lot of times it's very difficult building a high-performance organization until you get all those basic HR-related things in place. But once those things are in place, I've watched incentive programs do wonderful work, wonderful impact within those organizations around safety, productivity, recruitment, a variety of different growth areas. Is your process that you have that you bring to organizations, is it applicable to not only the secular for-profit organizations, but a lot of our listeners are tuning in from Christian colleges or churches or ministries? We have a varied background of listeners. Would your programs fit within Christian-related exempt employers?
Yeah, I believe they can, Mark. I have a number of approaches and beliefs that I've developed over the years in thinking about this. And one of my primary beliefs is that every work group can be incentivized, or phrased a different way, can be rewarded proportionally to their results. And so this applies to for-profit, not-for-profit, businesses, government, education. I just think it applies across the board. And so you have to, adapt and understand the context of the organization. But I believe, and I have seen now through my work in this area, I have seen, virtually every kind of organization embrace smart incentive plans.
That's wonderful. Let's talk about an incentive plan that you might have put into an organization, a for-profit organization in the past. And one, that I remember either reading in your book or a discussion with you is how you approached a department that wanted to recruit some more people to support them. And you basically came up with a strategy to say, hey, if we can get all this work done without going out to recruit, we could take the dollars that we would be paying out in salary and kind of help you with a bonus or something to the effect. I thought that was a great example. Could you unpack that for our listeners?
Yeah, that was one of my first experiences my first experiments, I guess, with incentives. And I had, a work group, a shop floor work group that was asking, begging, cajoling for more help. We need more help. We need more help. And ultimately came around to say, hey, I'm getting ready to give you what you want. But if you can figure out how to get the work done I'd much rather put these extra dollars I'm getting ready to invest in your hands instead of in the hands of somebody new who we don't know, we haven't met. And so when we reframed the challenge and reframed the opportunity with that work group, Mark, they thought about it. They came back around and decided, hey, we didn't know this was an option. Can we give this a try? And of course, I had a strong hunch how it turned out. It turned out great. They ended up absorbing the work, getting the work done, and going on to double and even triple their output over the course of time and with a lot of leadership help.
That's wonderful, Rob. What was one of the greatest takeaways that you took from that work that really affected your strategy moving forward? Because I know you wrote a book a couple of years after that occurred. Was there one key aspect of that project that you reflect on often?
One thing that comes to mind, Mark, I believe that people are capable of much more than we realize and that they even themselves realize. And with the right support, with the right mechanisms, it's pretty astonishing just what we can all accomplish in a productivity capacity and otherwise, of course. And so I think, that's a mindset to start down this path with it, like, wow, what are we capable of? What is possible if we can get all the stars to align to support the outcomes that we want? And so that's one. The other one was sort of a discovery that in most of the larger, well-known, highly, recognized, regarded, respected organizations, many of them publicly traded, they're all incentivized. There are enormous incentives in all the big names, the technology names, the industry names, the business names, and even in a lot of nonprofits, there are enormous incentives in place. And so this is not a new idea. This is, the big boys are using these approaches already. I just say that there's, you know, they're well underutilized. There's a lot of opportunity down within smaller organizations, both profit and nonprofit.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Rob, because these programs have been in place for 30, 40, 50 years. Many large organizations, publicly traded organizations, have had incentive programs in for many, many years. And the smaller organizations are starting to navigate to it and say, hey, this is important for us to implement. I remember at the Quaker Oats organization, we put all kinds of incentive programs in to eliminate safety issues, to give employees some incentive to stay safe. And also they had incredible productivity bonuses for manufacturing, Gatorade manufacturing bonus situations. What's another manufacturing project that you worked on that might resonate with our manufacturing listeners? And once we cover that, we're shift over to the religious exempt employers.
Sure. So when I think about incentive plans, and when I work with most organizations on incentive plans, I like to think of them in terms of work groups, different work groups, Mark. And so one very common typical work group would be your senior leaders in an organization, senior leaders. And so one of my preferred starting points with incentives is to start with senior leaders and the senior leadership team and, get to know what their roles and responsibilities are, how they may be compensated or rewarded now, what incentives or bonus or, you know, advantage sharing there is for that group, and to, you know, look at that carefully, because in many ways, there's a multiplier effect that happens when you put smart incentive plans in place for senior leadership groups. And I'll tell you that I have seen on, not always, but on a number of occasions where, you know, a typical manufacturing company with the right incentive plan for senior leaders can double their bottom line. Sure. You know, I mean, you can add a few extra points to your bottom line, which for many can double. I've seen bottom lines triple and quadruple with just this simple approach. And so I'm at a point now where I'm certainly a believer, and I'm very, you know, it's I'm passionate about this approach and how it can have an impact for small organizations and their owners and leaders.
That's wonderful, Rob. Now, as we shift to the religious exempt employers, meaning like a college, Christian college or church or ministry, one thing that I get passionate about when I go onto a college campus with some of the clients that we serve is the lack of incentives for employees that work there. I believe that every employee of every organization has an obligation back to the organization, and every employee should have some type of shared goals and objectives that resonate from the board of directors down through the president, the CEO, down to all the employees. One of those things that I notice is like student recruitment. We know many colleges are losing enrollment. There's a decrease in enrollment, and presidents are getting frustrated. And as I look at that, I think, why don't we put an incentive program in for all employees? I mean, the librarian could help recruit students. The different employees that work there could network into churches to recruit students. All of them should be first and foremost a recruiter, because if they don't get students, they're not going to exist. And that was one thing when I worked in corporate America that I really learned. Like at Quaker, we learned that, you know, all the applicants to Quaker are potential customers, and we need to embrace them as potential customers, and we need to create excitement. So I think employees of every organization should really look at all their employees as an extension of them and how they can better, like a recruitment effort, whether it's recruiting students or recruiting employees. So with that in mind, can you kind of walk the listeners through a process that you would use, I don't know, maybe to increase church attendance?
Well, as I mentioned, I believe that every work group and really every employee can be incentivized, okay, with, you know, some thought and in some cases some innovation. So with that said, You know, when it comes to, you know, higher education and students and recruiting, I mean, there's some laws and some ethics there that we've got to be careful. I mean, I advocate first and foremost that no incentive plan should, you know, obviously violate any laws or even good, you know, ethical practices. So, you know, you got to be careful and mindful of that because people have gone off the rails. With that said, I have a number of approaches for churches. I would welcome some conversations with any of your church leaders out there, because I think there's a great opportunity for establishing a formula and a good, equitable, appropriate compensation for church leaders. And we might not call it an incentive plan, sure, but some sort of a variable compensation based on the results or the resources that are, you know, available or generated within those organizations. And so, you know, first we start with what's appropriate and ethical, and, you know, and then we, you know, with that understanding, we build out the structure of incentive plans. You know, I will say, Mark, that oftentimes I've yet to find a perfect incentive plan. And so there, quite often we get to a point where we say, okay, look, what we're thinking about here in terms of incentive structure is not perfect, but let's find a starting point and maybe keep the incentive conservative to get something started and start to, you know, give everyone a taste and feel for it. And with that, you know, with a starting point, we can build from there and make improvements.
That's wonderful. And I agree. I agree totally, Rob. And you and I both working in private industry, public companies, and in, you know, some Christian circles as well, we see that a lot of the programs that we have coming out of corporate America does fit within a Christian college. It's just the language changes a little bit, but the way in which you do the work doesn't really change. Rob, it's been a blessing to have you on our podcast. I pray this has a great impact on all our listeners. We just have about a minute to wrap things up. Do you have any comments that you would like to leave for our listeners?
Well, thanks for having me, Mark. And as I mentioned, I'm just a believer and a passionate promoter of smart, ethical, innovative, win-win-win-win incentive plans for folks. As you mentioned, I've written a book on this, and I have a website and a LinkedIn profile. And so, you know, happy to share my resources. I have some YouTube videos and, you know, a number of free resources. I'm happy to share them with folks. Encourage them to, you know, get in touch with me or follow up on those resources if they have any interest.
That's wonderful, Rob. I want to thank you to our listeners. All of Rob's information is linked in the description for this podcast. Feel free to reach out to Rob. All the information there regarding his book. Rob, again, thank you and have the best week. Bye-bye now.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by Job Shepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to Job Shepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. Job Shepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.